today on Real Radio.
Let God define good success. Good success in your relationships. Good success at your job. Good success in your devotional life, right? Good success in your witness. Good success in... Are you with me? I would rather have good success in that stuff than some of these bonehead things about, oh, follow Jesus and get rich. Not in my Bible.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Can I Ask You a Question? Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the Book of Isaiah does an amazing job of magnifying Jehovah God as the Holy One of Israel. It also points us towards the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as the one who will come to deliver us. But its final prophetic fulfillment has not yet come to pass. And that is how God will create a new heaven and a new earth, including a new Jerusalem. In part 1 from Isaiah chapter 50, we learned the true value of asking a question. When a question is asked, there's always a reason behind it. There's something to be learned and an answer to be received. The Lord really does take great delight in talking with us. He has the answer to our greatest concerns in life. But here's the big question. Are we listening? So today on day 2 of chapter 50, part 2, Pastor Jack tells us that if we have a good thought or impression and wonder whether it's really from God, it will first of all result in good success, as the Holy Spirit directs us. It'll also bear witness to God's Word, the Bible. And now continuing in his lesson called, Can I Ask You a Question? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The second thing is this, mark this down. How do you know when God's speaking? There will be perfect harmony, agreement, with the clear, revealed Word of God. When God is speaking to you, Christian, you can match up. If you have any doubts, take what you were thinking and put it up to the Word of God, and it will match perfectly. You'll be full agreement. When we ask this question, hasn't God spoken? Hasn't God said anything? Hasn't He done enough in His Word to you? You can test this. And thank God we're Christians tonight. Think about that. Listen, there are all kinds of religions all around the world right now, and they don't know nothing about their gods speaking to them or not. You've got the Holy Spirit in you tonight if you're a Christian. And you've got the Word of God, the Bible, that it's either hidden in your heart or it's on your lap right now tonight. And whatever's going on in your life, if you would just stop, and this is my problem, this is maybe our problem. If we would just stop and slow down and pray and talk to God. Did you guys hear what I just said? If we would just slow down, right? And pray and talk to God. We're all running on the hamster wheel. And you just pull back. Whatever the situation is, God's word to us is going to be an absolute perfect agreement with His word. But we've got to consult His word regarding that thought, that impression that's in our hearts or in our minds. Thirdly, that thought or impression will always exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in your own spirit, in your own life, in your own heart, in your own spirit, not the Holy Spirit, your spirit, the born again you, that's your spirit. When God is speaking to you, Christian, it will always exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Always. Well, I think God's speaking to me, and I'm gonna sell the kids, sell the car, and I think God told me to go to Vegas and gamble it. Yeah, really? Tell me, friend, how does that exalt the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, that was a really bonehead example, but in reality, it's, you know, we do things that are much more or less blatant than that. But ask yourself this question regarding the issue that you're in and us trusting that God has said enough. Whatever's going on in my life, if God is speaking to me, now I know that it's going to exalt Jesus Christ. It's simple, but it's a fact. Fourth and final thing on this one, the thought or impression will result in good success as the Holy Spirit directs your life. This is fun. This is fun. Listen, I don't want to sound like a weirdo. If I do, raise your hand and I'll say it different. I am not a word faith person. I hope you know that. Those guys are goofballs. You know the blab it and grab it people, right? Just tell yourself you're rich and you'll be rich. That's insane. Okay, wrong. But I will say this. The thought or impression will result in good success as the Holy Spirit directs your life. Remember, the assumption is God is speaking to you and you've tested what you've heard against the Word of God. Okay? If you obey what he's telling you to do, you will have good success. Now, here's the thing. Don't define success the way Tony Robbins wants you to define success. Let God define good success. Good success in your relationships. Good success at your job. Good success in your devotional life, right? Good success in your witness. Good success in... Are you with me? I would rather have good success in that stuff than some of these bonehead things about, oh, follow Jesus and get rich. Not in my Bible. No, let God define good success. But my submission to you tonight is God has done enough. He has said enough in his word. He's given it all. It should be enough for me to grab onto and take me through the fiery trial of this relationship or of my child in the operating room or this financial collapse. Are you with me? Or the doctor giving me the cancer slip or something. Are you with me? The word is enough. It is enough. It's supernatural. It's not of this world. It's enough. And thank God that God relates to us, not as a bird, not as a, you know, an animal, not as some, you know, pixie or fairy thing. God relates to us as the Word of God. And that to me is awesome because now I can pick it up and I can take this everywhere I go. No matter what happens. The third thing that we see tonight is this. Look at verses 6-7. The third thing is, what else could I have done for you? Look at, God is speaking, verses 6-7. This is powerful. He says, remember, we're just asking who the Messiah is in here, whoever he is. He says in verse 6, I gave my back to those who struck me. I gave my back to those who struck me. Does that sound remotely familiar? The word gave in Hebrew is netan. It means, listen to this. I gave my back. It means I co-signed or consigned my back. It means that I dedicated my back. The word means I presented my back open, without defense. The word netan, graphic. Whoever the Messiah is, my friends, if you're watching tonight and you're Jewish, if you're here tonight, listen to what your Messiah did for the world. He bared his back to his smiters. The word means to furnish so fully, to offer up without limitation. The Messiah is saying, I'm going to give my back with no area of protection. I will reserve no flesh to those who'll strike me. They can have at it. Against my back. And what does the New Testament say? That they took the Roman cat of nine tails. It's a stick with a leather ball at the end. And it has, or not a leather ball, but a wooden ball at the end with nine leather straps about 18 inches long with animal bones in it, rocks and glass. And they would lay it down. By the way, The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson, that's a pretty good scene right there. It's very accurate. They did their homework. There's a scene where the centurion lays it into Jesus's back, right? Jim Caviezel's back in the movie and pulls. He can't get it out. And then boom, and then meat comes out. Listen, that's exactly how eyewitnesses recorded the Roman flogging. You can read about it. Josephus talks about it. Chunks of flesh. So bad that Josephus and others record the fact that when people were beaten by the cat of nine tails, you could see ribs and you could sometimes see their lungs. But they most often died. Whoever this is, and please again, I stress if you're Jewish, listen, your book says that your Messiah will lay his back wide open to his opposition and they will whip his back. This is spoken of nobody in the world but Jesus. My Savior, my Messiah, your Savior, your Messiah, if you trust him. Absolutely awesome. And Isaiah speaking over 700 years before the event. John chapter 19, verse 1. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Full beating. Full beating. This is not a spank. This is not a hit. This is not a slap. His flesh, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, we have no idea he was scourged. Mark chapter 15, verse 16. Then the soldiers led him, Jesus, away into the hall called the Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison, and they clothed him with a purple robe, and they twisted a crown of thorns. By the way, the crown of thorns is brutal. That crown of thorns from that bush, they grow in Israel. Those thorns are 2 to 3 inches long, and they're so sharp that if you touch it, you have to flick it off because it sticks to your skin that sharp that fast. It's like glue, but it sticks into you like that. It's horrible. So look what they did. They put it on his, twisted the crown of thorns, put it on his head, and they began to salute him. That's a gentle way of putting it. They began to salute him like this. They began to hit the crown. Hit the crown. Mm. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him. And the bowing the knee, and they worshiped him. That's obviously mock worship. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, that is the robe, and put on his clothes on him and led him out to be crucified. Continue on in verse 6, Isaiah 50. And I gave my cheeks. Now, I said the word gave because that's the implication in the Hebrew. I dropped it in there again. It's not just I gave my back to the smiters. He also laid open to the full brunt of his accusers his cheeks, to those who plucked out the beard. This was a Roman practice. You guys, I don't know about you. If you don't remember anything about tonight, will you remember this? How awesome is the Bible? Isaiah, there was no Roman Empire at the time of Isaiah. Think of it. This is Isaiah. Rome's not even thought of yet. But listen, Isaiah is prophesying what he is saying by the Holy Spirit. Rome will come along centuries later, and it was a matter of fact for them to treat a condemned man, to take a stick, and they would put it in the guy's beard, pass it a stick in the beard, and then begin to twist the stick in the beard. And then they would put their Roman cleat on the guy's forehead and then pull the stick and pull chunks of beard right out of your face with meat coming out of your cheeks. That's what they did. How did Isaiah know that? Isaiah didn't know that, but who did? The Holy Spirit authoring the Bible did. I don't know about you, man. I don't know. Maybe I'm a pushover, but if you're not a Christian, you should become a Christian right now. That's absolutely awesome. My Jesus did this for me. He could have stayed in heaven and let us all go to hell. He came so that we wouldn't have to go there. Wow. Matthew chapter 26, 56 says, "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Isn't that amazing? Verse 6 continues, "I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." Whoever this is, they're going to exercise self-control that, in my opinion, is beyond a human being's ability. Whoever this is, of course, I'm being sarcastic right now. I know who it is. He didn't hide his face from those who would shame him and spit on him. He just took it. Sound familiar? Didn't defend himself. Matthew 26, 67. "Then they spat in his face and beat him. And others struck him with the palms." By the way, palms, open hand, not clenched fist. That's easier. Palms, open. "They struck him with palms." That's open hand. "Prophesying, prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you?" Well, the reason why they're asking him, church, this is the worst of the worst. The reason why they're asking him is because they blindfolded him. They blindfolded Jesus, which is terrible because when you're going to be punched, you have a natural human reaction. You don't even know this. It's subconscious. If somebody's going to hit you, your brain automatically takes your head and moves it with the punch coming. Not against the punch, with the punch. You understand that? Anybody understand that? When you go like that, the head will go so it takes part of the sting away. Jesus was blindfolded, so he couldn't tell where the next punch was coming from. But it wasn't a punch. That would have been better. You want to kill somebody with a hit? You don't punch them. Take your hand wide open, hand like this, and you slap. You can break a neck. You can cause a concussion with a slap like that. Don't think that a open hand is easier. It's not easier. There's a brutality about it that is horrific. And Jesus was hit with open hand, blindfolded. And Isaiah knew it. How did that happen? Other than the Holy Spirit being the author of the Bible. Matthew 27:27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And then they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted the crown of thorns, this is Matthew's account, they put it on his head and a reed in his hand, and they bowed before him and they mocked him again. They said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And again, like Mark's account, almost verbatim, Matthew records it as well. They led him away to be crucified. Now listen, jump a little bit ahead of Isaiah tonight. Isaiah 52:14. Isaiah prophesies regarding the Messiah. And he says, deep into the future from Isaiah's day, you and I, we have to look 2,000 years back for this. "And many were amazed when they saw him. His face was disfigured. He seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man." Jesus was so molested, so brutalized. His body must have been blood red. And the prophet Isaiah said that he's marred, disfigured more than any human being ever. Can you believe this? No, you cannot. We believe it by faith. We understand, but we weren't there. And when I read Isaiah, I see that Mel Gibson didn't do much of a good job on this. Jesus looked like a mass of meat standing that the Bible says he was so brutalized because of Jack's sin that he could scarcely be identified as a human being. I'm guessing that the only way that you could determine that he was a human being was his human form. What about his nose? What about his ears? His teeth? His eyes? Were they in the sockets or not? His fingers, what about it? What? Absolutely horrific. Isaiah 53:5. "But he was pierced for our rebellion." Okay, if you're not a Christian tonight and you read that right now, you should become a Christian tonight. The Old Testament, 743 years before Jesus was born, said that he will be pierced for our rebellion. You know anybody who remotely fits the bill here? Listen, if you're not a Christian tonight, it's not because you don't have enough information. You're not a Christian tonight because you don't want to be. This prophetic fact is overwhelming. "Crushed for our sins, he was beaten so we could go whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all." This is the Messiah. Isaiah knows who he is. Many of you tonight know who he is. But maybe somebody in here, somebody watching, listening, do you know who he is? This is foolproof. Jesus Christ came and lived it according to the prophets. Perfectly executed. Isaiah 53, next verse 7. Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. That is in defense. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He didn't open his mouth because if he went to defend himself, then that would mean that you and I would not have a Savior to die in our place for us. If he defended himself, he could have gotten off. He was silent because he knew that Jack would be born and that he would be a wretch and that he would need salvation. So Jesus came. Now, you might say tonight, sitting there, yes, that's right. Jesus came, Jack, and he died for you. Yes, that's true. But it only works if Jack receives that truth for Jack. It's true. Don't get me wrong. It's true if Jack believes it or not. It's true. But it's true in Jack's benefit if Jack receives that truth. And listen, I'm a human like you're a human. It's easy for you to believe good things to be a blessing upon others, but you have a hard time receiving such a blessing upon yourself. Why? Because you know who you are. You know what you are. I know who I am. I know what I am. And so it's because of that where you and I, when we become aware of God's word, wow, it's kind of like a guy that's drowning out at sea. You know, think about it. At first, the guy's out in the water swimming around and he's doing fine because he has his strength. You can't save him because he doesn't want to be saved. He's swimming in the ocean. But then if he gets in peril, he gets tired or something happens, now he's very keenly aware of his mortality. Are you with me? He's not strong enough now to pull this off and he starts reaching for help. But listen, if he's starting to go down, you better get help to him quick or else he won't recover. Are you with me? There's a brief moment of salvation, if you allow me to put it that way. There's a moment, there's a window. You can't save somebody who doesn't need saving. You can only save those who understand that they need saving, but by the time they understand that they need saving, they don't have many breaths left. Are you with me now?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, Can I Ask You a Question? Part 2. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. You know, Jesus had a mission set in his heart to save us. So the big question is, what will you do now about who you are and where you're going? Can I Ask You a Question? Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called, The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. A series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, so many of us go through this hectic and fast-paced life, not only depleted of energy, but depleted in spirit. But God doesn't want us to live that way, especially when we don't have to. That's why it's so important to start the day out not only with that loud beeping alarm clock, but with the soft whispering of the Lord telling us to come to Him, and He'll give us strength. A time set aside for devotions is one way to gain that momentum we so desperately need, and to take a breath in the power of God's Holy Spirit. So if you need some help with devotions, Pastor Jack has a special devotions icon right there at our website. Simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and inside the devotions tab, you'll find a scripture along with a personal story from Pastor Jack. There's a new one every week, along with previous devotions that you can click on every day if you'd like. And you know, soon this special time with the Lord will become a great time of closeness, and you'll be writing down your own personal story of what the verse of the day means to you. Again, you can find devotions at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app? And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.